Everybody say, wait on the Lord. Be courage and he shall strengthen thine heart. Somebody say, amen. Sometime if we just learn to wait, he'll give us some instructions. Somebody say instructions. He'll tell us where to go. Somebody say, amen. Somebody say, amen. Well, it's about almost a quarter to 11. And I know a lot of us have some things that we want to do, so we want to get out of service and get to doing those things. Amen. But let me caution you that we shouldn't always be in a hurry. Somebody say, amen. Because we don't ever know what's around the corner. Amen. The Lord might be keeping us. Say, keeping us. Keeping us so that we can be kept. If that makes sense to you, he's keeping us so that we can be kept. Amen. If this is not a prelude to me preaching long. They've already started my time, and I hadn't even started preaching yet. Somebody say, amen. This is not, and I'm just going to take what I need. Somebody say, amen. I'll just take what I need. Somebody say, amen. And hope that you and bless me or grace me to do so. Somebody say, amen. So we just bless God for all that he's doing in our lives. Somebody say, amen. Well, on this last day of the year, we don't want to teach a we've come this far by faith message. Somebody say, amen. But we want to share with us that which God desires us to share with us in this place today. Somebody say, amen. On this last Sunday of the month, hopefully you'll remember. Somebody say, amen. We want to talk about the kingdom principle of forgiveness. The kingdom principle of forgiveness and the consequences to not forgiving God's way. Somebody say, forgiving God's way. God has a way for his children to forgive. We need to learn to embrace his way, and even in a lot of instances, ask him to help us to forgive the way that he desires to forgive. Somebody say amen. We're weak, but he is strong. Somebody say amen. We lack sometimes the ability to do the things that he desires to do in his way or in his divinity, if you will. Somebody say amen. So we can call on him to help us. Somebody say amen. So on this last Sunday of the year, God wants us to forgive some folks. Say, forgive some folks that we've been holding things against all the year. Somebody say amen. And in some instances, God wants us to forgive ourselves for transgressions that we transgressed against ourselves. Somebody say amen. Sometimes we can't move forward because we're stuck in a place. Somebody say amen. And on this last day of the year, God wants us to understand that forgiveness is available. Somebody say amen. Forgiveness have been available, and forgiveness will be available as long as there's a temporal setting. Somebody say amen. Our text for today will be Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. Our scripture text will be Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. It's a teaching from our Christ. Somebody say from our Christ. It's a teaching from our Lord, and he commanded us to teach whatever he has commanded us to teach. Somebody say amen. So we're in accordance or in agreement with him as we share this message today. Amen. But before we get to the lesson, there are some things that we need to rehearse as it relates to kingdom. Say kingdom. Somebody say kingdom. Kingdom is a word that we use to abbreviate kingdom of God or in kingdom of heaven. Somebody say amen. Oftentimes when we use the term kingdom, we are actually just shortening. I'm struggling with saying words this morning. Y'all praying for me? Amen. We're just shortening kingdom of God or in kingdom of heaven. Somebody say amen. Let me remind you what we've taught you concerning principles. Somebody say principles. Can you say principles? You do know we operate in principles whether or not we know it. Somebody say amen. We've taught you that principles are ideas or concepts or even rules, glory to God, that governs or, glory to God, drive our behavior or a behavior in a particular place. Somebody say amen. When you're operating in principles, say principles, that principle is determining the way that you behave in any particular instance. Amen. So it's a kingdom principle. Say kingdom principle. Forgiveness is a kingdom principle, and we've taught you in the past that kingdom principles are principles that originate or have originated with God. They didn't just start happening when you learned about it. God implemented forgiveness for mankind, and he also showed us forgiveness by forgiving us. Somebody say amen. So kingdom principles are principles that originate with God. Principles are rules, concepts, or ideas that drive our behavior. So when we teach principles, we're trying to get our belief system in the place where God desires it to be so that we can be driven by godly principles. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Now, the best definition that I can give you for the term forgiveness today is the term pardon. Somebody say P-A-R-D-O-N. The term pardon deals with forgiving an offense and releasing an individual from the penalty of the offense. Forgiveness, say forgiveness, is the word pardon or is defined as the word pardon. Somebody say amen. Pardon deals with the offense, that is releasing the person from the offense and the penalty for the offense. Somebody say amen. I guess I'm sure you've seen presidents on TV down in the past pardoning people, and most of them be guilty. We were too. Somebody say amen. Okay, let me say it again. We were too. Somebody say we were too. When God forgave us, somebody say amen. So don't you turn your nose up at the president because he's releasing somebody who is guilty. Somebody say guilty. Because we've been in the same place. And Jesus said, case dismissed, saved by grace. Somebody say amen. Case dismissed, saved by grace. Somebody say amen. So when we talk about pardoning, like the presidents do sometimes, they release the person of or from the offense and even, my God, and even from the penalty of the offense. And I know you be saying, well, they don't deserve it. Somebody say they don't deserve it. Okay, y'all trying to act slow today. They don't deserve it. You know that's what you say. They don't deserve it. Well, we didn't either. It was because God was rich. Somebody say rich. In his mercy and his grace that we are forgiven from our trespasses, our sins against him. Somebody say amen. So when we look at the word forgiveness, the simplest definition that I can give you is the word pardon. Somebody say pardon. That's releasing from the guilt and from the offense. Somebody say amen. And we also use the word consequence in our subject today. And the word consequence is defined as a result or effect of one's action or conviction. Somebody say amen. So there's consequences, and we'll see in the text today when we don't forgive believers, children of God, when the way that God desires to forgive. Say, God have a way, and his way is higher than ours. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. So in our text today, we're going to look at a lesson from the teachings of Christ. And in that lesson, we'll discover that one, God wants us to forgive, and two, he desires for us to forgive his way. Somebody say amen. As we get closer to the text today, or as we draw closer to the text, or as we look into the text today, we will see basically that the teaching on forgiveness starts with Peter asking a question. Somebody say, thank God for Peter. Peter asked the Lord in verse number 20 and 21, Lord, and the reason why he asked the Lord the question is because God had already talked. They already talked. God being Jesus had already talked about the procedure for forgiving in Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 17. God says that when your brother offend you or your sister offend you or they do something to, you know how we are, feelings driven, when they do something to hurt your feelings, you got to go to the brother or the sister. If they are not receptive to you coming, you got to go get you a couple of other Christians. Spirit-filled Christians. Spiritual Christians. Somebody say spiritual Christian. And go back to the brother or sister and state your case again. Somebody say amen. If they don't hear the brother and the sister, the Lord says that we're supposed to carry the folks before the church. We don't often do that. We leave it there. Somebody say leave it there. But we have instructions from the Lord to carry the folks from before the church. And if they are not repentant at that point, we're supposed to treat them like tax collectors and heathens. We're supposed to release them back out into the world. But come in. Oh, I thought I heard somebody knocking. Somebody say amen. But as we release them back to the world, we're supposed to pray for them. Somebody say pray for them. Two or three folks ought to get together and pray for the individual that the Lord first would turn their heart. Somebody say turn their heart to a place where they will hear and glory to God and forgive. Somebody say amen. And two, that the Lord will restore them to a place with the body or into to a place that he desired them to be in life. Somebody say amen. So Peter raised the question. Now, Lord, since you want us to follow this procedure, how often shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Brother denoting family. Family denoting body of Christ. Family also denoting children of God. Somebody say children of God. So this lesson ain't for the world. This lesson is for the body. This lesson is for the child of God or the children of God. For this is the way we're supposed to behave as it relates to forgiveness for one another. Now, it's always a good thing to practice forgiveness with everybody. Because if we learn how to practice forgiveness with everybody, we won't find ourselves in different states or different stagnations, if you will, not able to move forward. Amen. But the lesson is for the brothers. The lesson is for the brothers and sisters in Christ. Somebody say amen. So Peter asked the question, Lord, how often should I forgive? Seven times? Somebody say seven times. Do you all see anything wrong with that question? Are y'all looking how to naturalize or spiritualize? I see some folks saying, I don't see nothing. Somebody actually said, I don't see anything wrong with that question. I don't see anything wrong with the question either, other than the fact that when Peter raised the question, he's a disciple, still a disciple. He's learning. Somebody say he's learning. He didn't ask the question out of a place of love. He asked the question out of a place of carnality. Because if he was asking out of a place of love, he would have known that love keeps no record of wrongs when they are done to him or her. Somebody say amen. So he wanted to keep a record. He wanted to find out, Lord, is seven times a day enough for me to forgive my brother if he or she sins against me? Somebody say amen. Jesus had an answer. I've taught us how to walk in love, remember? Okay, I'm looking over this way. Let me turn this way because I'm seeing some facial expressions that I probably don't want to see. Somebody say amen. When we're walking in love, we're not holding offenses against our brothers and sisters. Somebody say amen. We're not, they did this to me yesterday. They did this to me this morning. It was around lunchtime when they did that. We're not keeping a record of the wrong. Somebody say amen. But we're going to forgive the way that Christ desires to forgive. Somebody say amen. So Peter said, Lord, is seven times enough? The Lord says, let me answer you, Peter. Verse number 22. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times. I know what I said, up to seven times. Somebody say seven times. But up to how many? And he didn't mean for him to keep a record with that. He meant for him to continuously forgive, oftentimes for the same offense. Somebody say amen. Seven times 70 in a day, amen. Then after he made that statement, he took an opportunity to teach by way of parable. Say parable. The kingdom principle of forgiveness and the consequences to not forgiving. Somebody say amen. Verse number 23. Y'all all right? I need to finish this today, so y'all hang in there. Somebody say amen. Jesus said, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a what? Who did what? Somebody say, like a certain king. Somebody say, certain king. We've taught you, and I need to reiterate and remind you that when Jesus taught parables, for the most part, especially concerning the kingdom, he did what we call comparative teaching. Somebody say comparative teaching. You know, in the past, I've taught you that a parable was an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. I taught you that a parable was a simple story with a spiritual truth or a religious truth tied into the parable. Now I want to teach you that when Jesus, somebody say Jesus, and I've taught you this before, when Jesus teach kingdom messages, in most cases, he's going to compare the kingdom operation to something natural. Somebody say to something natural. Because in most cases, we can understand the natural story. Now all we got to do after we understand the natural story is endeavor to get the spiritual meaning or the kingdom principle out of it. And that's why God has given us teachers to do that. Somebody say amen. So he said the kingdom of heaven is compared to what? Somebody say a certain king who wanted to do what? So there's a certain king. The certain king is a real king, but the real king is not named. Somebody say amen. As it relates to the parable and the kingdom principle, God is comparing himself through Jesus to a certain king. Somebody say amen. Who wanted to settle accounts with his folks. Somebody say amen. Verse number 24. Who are Jesus' folks? Can you say us? We're his children. Somebody say amen. Okay. Servants is symbolic language for children of God who believe in Christ. Somebody say amen. Verse 24. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him how many talents?
10,000.
Somebody say 10,000 talents. 10,000 talents is a great sum of money. So this dude, in reality or in the natural parable or in the natural story, owed the king a lot of money. Somebody say amen. Now the 10,000 talents are comparative to or symbolic to all the sin that we had committed before we met Christ. Y'all looking at me real strange. Oh, y'all didn't commit sin. That child said, I got a witness. Somebody said, All the sin we had committed before we met Christ is tied up in that large sum of talent. Somebody say amen. When God started dealing with me about forgiveness and talents and the large sums of sin, I get overwhelmed. I get overwhelmed because I remember a bunch of the stuff that I've done. Some stuff you know about, some stuff you don't, some stuff you never will know about because it's between me and God, amen. I told you last week, we're supposed to be transparent, but we ain't supposed to bleed on you. Somebody say amen. If I share some things, I'd be bleeding on you. Somebody say amen. But thank God that in forgiving me, all those sins are blotted out. Somebody say amen. You did read the scripture. If any man be in Christ, he's what? Somebody say, all things are passed away. All things. He's talking about looking at your hands and your hands look new. Looking at your feet and your feet did too. He's talking about all that stuff he forgave you of when we came to Christ. Somebody say amen. Romans 3:23 said, all have sinned, which means we had sinned, but now in Christ Jesus, we come short of the glory of God. That is, we miss the mark of righteousness. Amen. How does that happen? It happens because God, I used to hear somebody say, I'm a child of God. I might be one of his bad ones. Somebody say amen. But I'm one of his children. And you might not agree with this, but most of us are bad in the beginning because our mind hadn't been renewed. Some of us still act the way that we did when we got saved before we were saved. Because the mind, and you would stand your ground on, God ain't through with me yet, amen. But are you submitting to the perfecting process? So in the parable, the dude owed God the king a lot of money, say a lot of money. And that's symbolic or comparative to what we owed him by way of our sin debt once or before we became saved. Somebody say amen. Verse 25. And if you're not saved yet, if you haven't been forgiven of all your sin, the door is open. Somebody say amen. Whosoever will, let him come. Somebody say amen. Verse number 25. But as he was not able, say not able, he was helpless to pay. As he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be what? Who else with him? His wife and children and all. And that what? The king was saying, man, I want my money. I want you to pay me. God was saying at one time, I want my sin debt cleared up. But he knew we couldn't do it. So he sent an advocate, Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. Verse number 26. Y'all all right? Y'all following the parable? The servant therefore fell down before him and said, Master, have patience with me. And I will do what? You give me a little time, Master, I'll pay it all. Verse number 27. But then the master of that servant was what? Somebody say compassion. Can I just throw this out parenthetically? If we could ever learn to be a compassionate church, we can release some folks of some things. If we could ever learn to be a compassionate church, we'll release some people. We hold on to some things as it relates to what folks have done to us because we can't see ourselves in that spot. You can't see yourself in that spot right now because you're doing pretty good, amen. I live in a way where I believe I can fall and everybody else can fall. Because I live that way, I can be compassionate in most cases to people. And where I fall short, I can ask the Lord to help me. And we'll bring that out in just a few minutes. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen again. So the master said, the master had compassion on the guy and did what? Released him and did what? He fully pardoned him. You don't owe me nothing. You and your children and your wife can go home. I'm not going to put you in prison until I get my money. You're totally free. Can I throw something out parenthetically? That's what God did for us. Totally pardoned us in Christ Jesus. Somebody say amen. I've taught you this. He forgave us for sins past, present, and already taken care of. Am I talking to the right house? Verse number 28. I'm trying to move through this because I have some takeaways that I need you to take away today. But the servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed them how many denarii? Just a small sum of money. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, give me my money. You know how you say it. Give me my money. You know what the last word you use. Somebody say amen. Pay me my money. Y'all got a lot of words to use. Somebody say amen. Pay me my money. The servant going to the other servant to get what was owed to him, symbolic of the fact or comparative to the fact that we sin against one another. You do know we sin against one another. Okay, have you ever sinned against anybody? Verse number 29. Verse number 29. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Look at this rascal. Verse number 20. Verse number 30. And he would not, but went and threw the dude into prison till he what? Now, he didn't treat him like the king treated him. Comparatively, we don't always treat folks like God treats us. You know, we got certain stuff we want to hold on to. We'll always treat folks like God treats us as it relates to forgiveness. We got certain stuff we want to hold on to. But Paul writes over in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 32, that we ought to be tenderhearted, forgiving others just like Christ, just like God in Christ Jesus have forgiven us. How much did he forgive you of? Now y'all getting silent night on me. How much did he forgive us all? Somebody said everything. So why are we holding on to stuff? Now, I'm going to go ahead and give you something that I was going to give you later. When we talk about forgiving the way that God forgave, we're talking about divine forgiveness. Now, when God forgives us, he casts it into the sea of forgiveness, never rise up against us again. He put it out of his mind. Because we live in humanity, we can't always do it that way. But God has made allowances for that. Over in Hebrews chapter 4, the scripture tells us that Jesus can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities, which means we're weak in areas, which means we're weak to operate in some areas like God has desired or have desired for us to operate in, amen. But we don't have to not do it because we're weak, amen. In that same fourth chapter, the scripture says that we could go before the throne of grace and receive mercy, say mercy, and grace. Somebody say grace in the time of need. Or you still didn't get it. When you're weak to do the divine things that God desires to do, you can go get you some grace to get it done. Somebody say amen. I said you can go get you some grace to get it done, but you can't be stout-hearted. You got to be spiritual enough to go before God and tell God, look, God, I know what you said about forgiving this rascal or this rascal. I ain't able to do it, Lord. I ain't able to do it, Lord, so I need your grace. Say, your grace. That's not unmerited favor at that point. That's God's divine ability. Somebody say amen. I need your grace to be able to forgive this person the way that you desire for me to forgive this person, amen. And I promise you, he promised us that he'll come to our rescue, amen, and give us what we need. Somebody say amen. Because he wouldn't ask you to do anything that he wouldn't equip you to get done. Somebody say amen. And if you are humble enough to say to the Lord that I'm weak to do this thing, he'll give you the strength. He'll give you the grace. So you shouldn't walk around and just not do it. He's made provisions for us to come to him to get it done. So verse number 30, and he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. Somebody say amen. He can't pay the debt in prison, no way. Verse number 31, I got to get it done. Verse 31. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very what? And came and told what? All that had. Now, comparatively, that's the saints going to God, telling God with the knucklehead that he forgave him of, wouldn't forgive him of. Lord, he had the nerve not to forgive when you've forgiven him of all that stuff. Verse number 32, trying to get somewhere. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant. Can you hear the Lord speaking? When we're in a place that we don't forgive as we have forgiven, the Lord might see us as a little wicked. You wicked servant, I forgave you of all that debt because you begged me. Verse number 33. Should you not also have had what? Somebody, don't get too fast. Somebody say compassion. It takes compassion to forgive others, along with a little help from the Lord sometimes, to forgive others when they've offended us or when they've transgressed against us. Somebody say amen. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant or your brother or sister in Christ, just as I have pity, just as God has had pity on us and forgiven us of our sins. Somebody say amen. Verse number 34. I'm almost home free. And his master was what? Somebody say angry. The certain king was what? Somebody say angry. What did his anger drive him to do? Deliver him to what? To the torturers. There were literal torturers who were tortured until such time as the debt got paid. I'm going to throw this out here parenthetically. I don't know how you're going to like this. But I think oftentimes, you know, gangsters, you ever watch gangster movies? You know, when you owe the gangster money, he'll come by your house if you don't pay him, and he'll break an arm or leg or something until you get it paid. Somebody say amen. I think some of those gangster or movie writers read the Bible. But they took good and made evil out of it. Somebody say amen. Yeah, they took good and made evil out of it because they'll come by and torture you until you pay them. Somebody say amen. Sometimes they'll just rub you out. Somebody say amen. So the king got what? Angry. And it drove him to do what? To the torturers until what? Verse number 35. This is crucial right here. So my heavenly Father, Jesus said, also would do to you if you what? If each of you do what? What would he do to us? Deliver us to the torturer. Somebody say torturer. If we don't what? You missed a phrase. Forgive what? Okay, let me read. Because y'all, look, I'm going to do what my grandbaby does sometimes. I'm going to point to every word. My five-year-old grandbaby can read like a whip. I just want y'all to know that. Let me tell y'all what he did, and then I'll move forward. His grandmama had put her phone down. I guess he must have heard the phone and said, ding, you know, whatever it does when a message comes. This five-year-old boy picked up his grandmama's phone, and he knew how to get in, and he read her messages. And she saw him reading the messages and laughing. Which means not only did he read the message, he comprehended what he read, amen. Every word, she was just taken aback. Because one, he could read, and two, he read with comprehension at 5 years old. Somebody taught him, his mom and dad taught him. Sometimes somebody got to help us to see some things. Somebody say, see some things. It's right there. So my heavenly Father also would do what? If each of you don't do what? We missed the hard part. From his hard part does not what?
Forgive his brothers.
So God wants us to forgive what? Somebody say from the heart. Taught you this many times. The word heart, there's the Greek word cardia, say cardia, which means figuratively the thinking and the feeling. God wants us to forgive in a way where we don't think about it anymore. And we don't let the offense cause us to feel a certain way. How are we going to do that? We're going to ask the Lord to help us. Because the real deal is a lot of us are not spiritual enough or spiritually mature enough at this point to forgive from that perspective. That's why we're going to ask the Lord to help us. We ask the Lord to help us because what? We want to forgive like he desires to forgive. I only got real quiet over. Now I'm going to go back to the pulpit before somebody try to stone me. Somebody say amen. So God wants us to get to the place that we forgive how? And where else? The mind, heart, the heart being what? Figuratively, the mind and the feeling. Somebody say in the feeling. Somebody say in the feeling. Let me just throw this out parenthetically. How do you know when you've forgiven somebody from the heart? Anybody answer the question? I hear y'all mumbling something. Say it loud. You don't bring it up no more. You don't feel the same way about it anymore. That could be true. You know when you're forgiving somebody from the heart when you don't want payback. When you don't want retribution. When you don't want recompense for the offense. Now, you might think about it again. And if you want to go kill that rascal because he offended you, you haven't forgiven from the heart. And that's indicative of the fact that you need to ask the Lord to help you. Because we understand that this kind of forgiveness is what? Divine. And we can't always do divine stuff because we live in a human body. So we need help. Somebody say help.
Yeah.
Some of us need help with forgiving some folks that's in the grave. Because you're still mad at that person because of what they didn't do. Or because of some offense that they performed against you. And it keeps you going in circles. And you need to let it go. Somebody say, let it go. So God wants us to forgive how? Somebody say, from the heart. How do we know when we forgive from the heart? We don't want payback. Do you think God won't pay back for all the sins he's delivered us from? No. And you heard him. We heard him. We transgressed against him. But he don't want pay back. He wants us to live abundantly or an abundant life. Somebody say amen. We need to get to the point where we can forgive like God. So what happens? What's the consequence when we don't forgive like God? Who does it?
God.
Somebody say God.
God.
He turned us over to who? You mean to tell me a good God like our God would turn us over to a tormentor? That's what Jesus said. Do you not know that he has a purpose in turning us over to the tormentors? His purpose is to correct our behavior. His purpose is to scourge us so that we can get in alignment with holiness, if you will. So when we don't forgive like he forgives, I'm going to blow somebody's mind now, but I've said it before probably 20 times prior to this. When we don't forgive the way that he desires to forgive, he turns us over to the tormentor. Torturer. Somebody say torture. Now in the past, I think I've taught you that a torturer could be, as it relates to us, an evil demon, if you will. I sort of think a little differently about that now. I think the torturing can consist of the offense replaying in your mind over and over again. You ever had an offense that replay in your mind over and over again? What happens? It make you angry. It make you anxious. It makes you want to get even. So on and so forth, amen. It's disturbing. Somebody say amen. But if we forgive from the heart, we can release ourselves from that type of torment. Somebody say amen. So how do you get released from the torment? Somebody say amen. You release the person from the debt against you or the transgression that they have performed against you. Other than that, you might find yourself being tormented on and on and on. Somebody say on and on and on. I told you that it's divine forgiveness. And because it's divine forgiveness, what you need to do? Ask the Lord for help. I see somebody on the seat now. Ask the Lord for help. Because, can I help you? It ain't hurting the Lord. And I've taught you this for years. I've told you this for years. It ain't always hurting the offender. Because then most folks, they going on about their business. They care less what you're going through, amen. So the only person that's stuck is you. And if you want to get out of place of unstuckness, or get out of place of stuckness, if you will, to a place of unstuckness, you need to let it go. What would that song say? Ask the Savior to help you. Confidence strengthen and give you strength to get rid of this. Somebody say amen. I can recall, man, I'm telling you, I can recall this just like it was yesterday when I first started pastoring this church. You know, I'm from Collegeville, and I probably shouldn't have said that, but I'm from Collegeville, and during my Collegeville days growing up, man, a lot of folks did a lot of stuff to me. And after I came back to pastor the church, I wasn't that little bit of short, shrimpy guy no more. Somebody say amen. So I wanted to get even with some folks. So I used to ride down Huntsville Road or what we used to call the pike, just looking for folks to show them, I ain't that little guy no more. Try me now. And then I got some helpers with me now. Somebody say amen. I'll take care of you. Somebody say amen. That was my kind of thinking because I had to release those folks. After spending a lot of time in the Word, I learned that God wanted me to forgive like he's forgiven. In order for me to stop riding up and down the pike, or riding down up and down Huntsville Road, I had to let that, I almost called it what it was, let that crap go. Because here's the real deal. I might have confronted somebody and I don't know how it would have turned out. You know, I wasn't as little as I was, but I still could have got my tail whooped. Or maybe even taken out. Somebody say amen. So it wasn't hurting them. As a matter of fact, I ain't seen none of them walking down the pipe. I don't tell them where they were. Somebody say amen. Or down Huntsville Road, which means they had moved on about their business. There wasn't nobody stuck but me. So oftentimes, forgiving releases us from being stuck. Let me throw this at you, too, and I might not get to the takeaways that I thought I was going to get to, but let me just throw this at you too. Some of us are stuck in some places because we ain't forgiven ourselves. We've transgressed against ourselves. We've hurt ourselves in some areas. And we haven't let that go. And we find ourselves stuck in places because we're still holding against ourselves what we did against ourselves to hurt ourselves. We got to get to the place that we want to move forward. See, I was holding some stuff against my parents for a long time because of what I thought they didn't allow me to do. Well, they didn't allow me to do it, but the impact I thought it was going to have, it had on me. But it didn't necessarily have that impact because I might not have been ready for what I thought I was ready for. So I had to release them. There are some things that I didn't do that I thought I should have done, and I hang on to it as though I'm not all that I could have been because I didn't do what I thought I should have done. I had to let that go too. Because I believe I'm right in the place where God desired me to be. Without all the education that I wanted, without all the training that I wanted, I'm right in the place. As a matter of fact, I might be in a better place because I didn't get some of that training, because some of that training could have got in the way of what he was trying to reveal to me or teach me as it relates to what I do now. Somebody say amen. So I had to release myself. That was a time when I felt inferior to educated folk. The way God released me from that is he took me to a place where I had to be a volunteer exec for about a whole year, I think it was. And part of my assignment was to minister, I won't call the name of the company, to execs all over the city. And this is what I found out. People are just people no matter where they are in life, amen. That delivered me from being superior to educated folks, amen. They split verbs too. They tap some nouns too, somebody say amen. They don't always use prepositions in the right place either, somebody say amen. They're not always grammatically correct. I had to learn that. Now I'm not inferior to anybody. I can preach before Dr. So-and-so just like I can preach before the common man, somebody say amen. Because I know who holds me. I know who has delivered me from places that I need to be delivered from. So I said, I'll just say something. Y'all need to let that stuff go that you didn't get done. Forgive yourself. I've done some other stuff that I'm not going to tell you to transgress against myself, but I've let all that stuff go. Because it doesn't do nothing but hold me back, weigh down my mind. I know you think you should have been a lot further than you are, but you are where you are by the grace of God. And you're doing very good by the grace of God. So let it go. So what happens when we don't forgive God's way? He turns us over to the torment. Sometimes the torturer is mental. You need to let that stuff go so the torturer can leave you alone. Am I talking to the right house? So what have we learned from this parable today? Somebody said a lot of stuff. But two main things you've learned, possibly even three main things. One, let me tell you the first thing you've learned. One, the first thing you should have learned is that God wants us to forgive one another. Somebody said brothers and sisters in Christ, just like he's forgiven us. And he's forgiven us of the whole thing. Somebody said the whole thing. Let me see if I can make it simple for you. No matter how many times they sin against us, brothers and sisters in Christ, oftentimes with the same sin, they cuss you out this morning, they cuss you out for lunch, they cuss you out for dinner, and they cuss you out right before you went to bed. They hurt your feelings every time, but every time we need to forgive them. Can I help you today? Yeah, we often look at the behavior, but we oftentimes don't look at why the behavior might be the way that it is, amen. So when we just look at the behavior and focus in on the behavior, we end up judging a person that don't need to be judged, amen. And you don't have the right to judge. I don't have the right to judge because you don't know what the core of the person is, amen. The reason why they might be behaving the way they behave, because one, they learn, or they just don't know no other way to behave. So you need to forgive, give them grace so that they can at some point learn the way God desired them to do things and do it his way. So one, you should have learned that God wants us to forgive like he forgave. He forgives the whole thing. Say the whole thing. No matter how often it has happened, you're already forgiven. Somebody say amen. The second thing you should have learned is that God wants us to forgive from the heart. He wants you to give in a way that you don't want to pay somebody back. Well, you don't want them to get paid back because of what they did. Somebody say amen. And the third thing you should have learned, not necessarily from the parable, but from the teaching, is that it's divine forgiveness. Say divine forgiveness. Oh, let me see if I can make a plain. You're human and divine. What makes you human and divine, Michael? You're born again. When you became born again, the Holy Ghost lived on the inside of you. So you got divinity living on the inside of you, but you still walk out things in a human body, which means you do a lot of things humanly. So because we live in human bodies, or we still live in humanity, you should have learned that I can ask God to help me to live up to his standard. Oh, y'all, come on. You can ask God to help you live up to his standard. When you see yourself falling short of the righteous standard, and you know what the standard is, and you know that you need to get there, Lord, help me to get to your standard. One thing I didn't tell you. There's about a couple of things that can hinder you from forgiving God's way. Can I tell you what those two are? One is ego. Can you say ego? I know what God wants me to do, but I'm going to do it my way. Ego. Somebody say ego. And the other one is emotion. Somebody say emotion. I know what God wants me to do, but I feel like I just ought to do it this way. Ego. Emotions can hinder you from doing anything God's way. Jesus said we got to deny ourselves in order to follow him, which means oftentimes that means we got to deny our egos and our feelings. Because some of y'all feel like, I don't want to hear no more what Pastor got to say today. Somebody say amen. But the real deal is you need to hear the rest of what I got to say, amen, because we're trying to get to the standard that God wants us to live at. So two things can hinder me from forgiving God's way, which is divine forgiveness. One is what? And the other one is what? Some of y'all didn't say nothing that I asked you to say, but it's all good. It's all good. Because at some point you're going to come back to it. Pastor, why is Sally and Joe not forgiving me? What, did you forgive other folks? Did you sow forgiveness? Did you forgive everybody who did something to you? Or you just did the ones that you like? So you might be reaping what you sowed. I'm talking to the right house. I'm closing, but I just feel like I got to say this. You got to forgive that naughty deacon. Okay. You got to forgive that naughty preacher. You got to forgive that naughty congregational member, which is your brother and sister in Christ. All of our brothers and sisters in Christ. We got to let it go. Somebody say, let it go. Somebody say, let it go. Because all it's doing is torturing us. Okay, I see some of y'all yawning now. They'll close up. All it's doing is torturing us. Yeah, and one of the reasons why God wants us to end the year this way is because we don't need to take unforgiveness into next year. Yeah, thank you. That was the right thing at the right time. Somebody say amen. Because you already got enough stuff that's coming to deal with, amen. Why take over something from this year to have to deal with when you could have gotten rid of it in 2023? I think I better let it go. I think I need to knock this thing out. Yes, you know it's song. TKO. Somebody say amen. And if I can't do it in my humanity or in my spirituality, Lord, help me. Lord, give me the grace to get this done. Because it's torturing the hell out of me, Lord. I can't do the doobie brothers, Lord. I'm doing some other brother. I can't keep forgetting because I keep remembering. I need to help. And one thing we need to learn to be is honest with God. Lord, I know what you said. I didn't even try, Lord, because I know I can't get it done, but I need you to help me to get there. Somebody say honest with God. I hear somebody saying, I do, I hear you. Somebody saying, I ain't going to ask God for nothing because that rascal don't deserve to be forgiven. That's between you and your mind, you and your conscience, and you and your God, because the power to forgive is available. Forgive others. Forgive yourself. And let's move on. Oftentimes, I know I say some things that can be offensive. What a lot of people don't understand about me, and I don't know where I got to go here other than the Lord is leading me here. I like to have a lot of fun. It's just me. And I'm trying to cut down on some of the fun that I'd like to have, because sometimes in jest, I hurt people's feelings. And I don't want to do that no more. I spend too much time asking, will you please forgive me? Will you please forgive me? I like to have fun. I know I've hurt some people's feelings in the midst of having fun. Somebody might walk in the door. I might cut up. Well, while I'm preaching, I might cut up with them. And I've learned recently that oftentimes I'm offending people. So I'm working on that. But on the other side of that, I need you to forgive me because I was just having fun. I need you to let it go. Because I need you to hear what God is saying through me. And if you're holding me in a place of unforgiveness, oftentimes you cannot hear. And I didn't know your business when I said such and such. I'm just saying what the Lord told me to say. I ain't been in your house. This is why I don't like to counsel. And at some point, we're going to raise up folks in the church to counsel. Because a lot of times I have to say things that might speak to your situation. And if I counsel you, you might think I'm telling you business. Don't nobody really know but me and you. Somebody say amen. But I wasn't in your house. I wasn't there. I just say what thus says the Lord. And you didn't call me yesterday. You didn't. I just say what thus says the Lord. So if you think I've been in your business, I ain't been in your business, please forgive me. Let me go so you can hear me. Because there's some stuff coming up next year that's going to be awesome teaching for us. I'm already trying to teach you, as the Lord lead me, what Jesus has commanded me to teach. I don't know what else coming up next year, but it's going to be some stuff that can take us out of some places of stuckness, if you will. I'm reading a book now, and I like to throw books out sometime because some of y'all like to read, like me. I'm reading a book now by this Jewish gentleman. It's entitled Thou Shalt Prosper. And I'm sure I'm going to learn some principles from that book I'm able to share with you. So you got to forgive me so you can hear those principles. Somebody say amen. I'm reading another book, and I got the leaders reading this book, The Art of Persuasion. All of y'all need to buy that book. Because it's by what's the guy's name? Bill Berg, it has so much positive stuff in it as it relates to how we should treat one another. I mean, it's just a positive, great book. Everybody needs to buy that one. You need to go online and put in the power of persuasion, not the power of manipulation, but the power of persuasion, the art. Somebody say art. See, there they're reading it, so they can help me. The Art of Persuasion by, what's the man's name? Berg, his last name is Berg. You need to read that book. Very helpful book. I read a piece of it every morning, almost except the weekend, because I'm off from the book on the weekend. Somebody said, man, from that particular book, amen. Oh, man, it teaches you the difference between responding and reacting. It teaches you how to be polite to people. It teaches you how to win people to your side, create win-win situations. Sometimes just for being polite to people. If we can learn the principle of politeness. Somebody say politeness. We could get to a place where we might not have to ask for forgiveness all the time. Somebody say politeness. Everybody deserves to be treated with kindness. I'm starting up again. I didn't mean to do that. Everybody. Whether you think so or not think so. Do you think you deserve to be treated with kindness by God? You do? What makes you so deserving? You do? What makes you so deserving? You are deserving now, but proud to be in Christ. What makes you so deserving? That's now, but what before then? That's what I want you to think about. You think you were deserving of Christ laying down his life for you? No. But he did it out of his kindness. So everybody deserves to be treated kind. Somebody say amen. I believe that's all I got to say about this subject today. What we're going to talk about next week? Check me out next week, I tell you. Somebody say amen. Got a lot of stuff. I just don't know which direction we're going in. Got a lot of stuff to share. Got a lot of stuff to share. Let's pray. Lord, you're so good. Thank you so much, Lord, for all that you've shared with us today. Lord, I thank you that we could hear and understand what thus saith you from your word today. Lord, we honor you that we're good ground, that we've received. And we thank you that we'll be doers of what we've heard. In Jesus' name, amen. And take all heads bow, all eyes closed as we give someone the opportunity to receive Jesus today. The way that we invite Jesus into our lives in this ministry is through prayer. Somebody say prayer. We know that there are some unbelievers that don't know how to invite him in. So we lead the unbeliever in prayer so that they can ask Jesus in. And he can come in and begin to do a work in us that only he can do. We ask the saints, the people that are already saved, to pray along with us to support that unbeliever and to encourage that unbeliever. And number three, when they're praying, they won't know that they won't know that you know that they're not a believer. And get an opportunity to invite Christ into their lives. Somebody say amen. Can we pray together, Lord Jesus? Come into my heart. Lord Jesus, save me. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Lord Jesus, be my Savior. Lord Jesus, be my Lord. Feel the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming into my heart. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for forgiving me of my sins. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being my Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being my Lord. You prayed that prayer for the first time, and you know without a shadow of a doubt that you had faith to receive Jesus come into your life, that he's beginning to work in you, that only he can work. You need us to help you by sharing with you some material to help you along as you start your Christian journey with the Lord. Somebody say amen. There's a number that's going to be on the screen in just a little bit. We have an elder who's manning that number. You can call that number now or later if the elder that's manning. What's the correct word? Manning. Manning that phone does not answer. You just leave a message. And they will get back with you, get some information from you so that we can ship you or send you the information that you need to get started on your walk with the Lord. If you're in the house, you can do the same thing. Leave the message that you're interested in getting the material. We'll ship it to you as well. No cost. Somebody say no cost. If you're viewing us or in the house today, you want to become a member of this church, you can call the same number, leave that same message, and that same elder will contact you. Or myself will contact you to welcome you into the body of Christ, specifically into this fellowship. Somebody say amen. Well, come on, let's bless God for what he's done in this house today. Amen. Amen. Let me personally thank all of you for sowing into First Lady's life, my life, during the Christmas holidays. Y'all really blessed us. Somebody say amen. Amen. This morning, I had another card just laying on the chair. Somebody say amen. Y'all are still blessing us. Somebody say amen. We're able to enjoy Christmas like you all because of your kindness toward us. Somebody say amen. It's offering time. It's offering time. There are some ways to give that are on the screen. If you desire to give by any one of those ways, all you have to do is pick one and give today. Somebody say give today. If you've already given throughout the week using any one of these avenues, come on, let's bless God for you. Amen. 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 If you're in the house today and you desire to give by way of the receptacles, our ushers are on the floor. Slip your hand up with the envelopes in hand. They're on their way to pick them up. On their way to pick them up. Glory to God. They will pick them up. And we'll pray over all of them in just a moment. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Don't forget the Bible study is still on rest. Somebody say rest. We will resurrect. We will resurrect on January 10th. And we will begin to share the teachings that God desires for us to share with you for or in the new year. Somebody say amen. I need to make this announcement. Next Sunday, immediately after worship, we're going to set some new elders in place. New elders in place. We got two or three new elders that we want to set in place, and we want to explain to you what they do in their new position. As a matter of fact, all of our elders need to be prepared to stand before the church next week so that we can re-explain, because I think we've already explained to you what the general elders do that are already in place. We have the elder of ministries, we have elders, congregational care. I said elders, which means that there's more than one. We have elder finance, and we have a couple of other elders that I think I might have forgotten. But we'll discuss all that next week. Thank you so much. You did right. You did right. Thank you so much. But we're going to put all the elders before you next week before we set the three new ones in place, and we're going to share with you. Just give you a brief overview of what they do in the house so that you can put a role with the faith. Somebody say amen. Even as it relates to benevolence in the house, the elders of congregational care are the two elders that you're supposed to, that you should go to get your benevolent needs met. Somebody say amen. If you come to me about benevolence, I'm going to direct you to the two elders that's in charge of congregational care. Amen. If you come to me with ministry concerns, I'm going to direct you to the elder of ministry. They have all the information. I don't always have it all because I'm busy doing my ministry, amen, like they're busy doing theirs. Somebody say amen. So be prepared to stay in for a few minutes so that we can get that accomplished, so we can start the new year with all the elders. And I'll go ahead. Thank you, sir. I'll go ahead and let you know the three we're going to set in place. Their position, there's an elder of hospitality. There's an elder of marketing and media. And there's also an elder of legal matters and procedure, policy and procedure, if you will. We got to set all those in place on next week. Somebody say amen. All heart satisfied in giving? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the gifts, for the givers, and we thank you that in due season that you will increase them according to their gifts. Lord, we lift up the collective tithes and offerings up to you. We lift up the collective tithes and offerings to you. First, we thank you for them, and secondly, we ask you to bless them like you did two fish and the five loaves of bread, so that there will be great resources in this house to meet every need with supernatural abundance left over. So we honor you. Thank you. We give you praise for all things. In Jesus' name we do pray. And all who agree with that prayer said, somebody say amen. Now, let me say this too, and I didn't know I was going to have to do this. Look, this in the upcoming year, 2024, look for me to do some teaching on giving. Somebody say giving. I don't do a whole lot of teaching on giving, but I need to do some because the giving is slacking off a little bit in the house. Amen. And it takes gifts. It takes money for us to do what God desires us to do in this house. Somebody say amen. So look for me to do a few teachings on giving next year and the blessing attached to giving. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Somebody say amen. So we want to learn a little bit more about giving in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Well, that's all I have for today. I know it's New Year's Eve. We would have planned a service tonight, but I was scared some of y'all weren't going to come back. Somebody say amen. Because you already been, I'm just kidding. We led of the Lord not to. We don't do things just because we traditionally do them. Somebody say amen. We need to get to the place where we walk in the Spirit. Somebody say walk in the Spirit. Do what the Lord desires us to do or what he leads us to do. Amen. There are services going on all over town. If you just feel like you just need to go somewhere, there are services, again, all over town where you can find yourself at home in either one of them. Somebody say amen. First lady and I going to be in the house. Somebody say amen. I'll be praying for you, baby. Can you pray for them too? Pretty strict in the Lord. Somebody say, if we're for the last 10 years, I know we don't even know when the new year came in, because we are resting in the arms of Jesus. Somebody say amen. In the earth realm. Somebody say amen. We are asleep. I don't know what happened after 9 o'clock most nights anyway. Somebody say amen, because I'm asleep. Somebody say amen. I think I've talked enough today. What do you think? Somebody said amen. Y'all stand up. I'm going to be long next year, amen. Let us stand together, amen. I love you too, Connie. Amen. I just want you to know I love you too. Amen. 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 I'll tell you about it later. Somebody say amen. There are some sickness that's going around. Let's pray for all of our members. We have a few out that I know are sick today. So let's pray for our members. All we need to do is say, Lord, I thank you about the stripes of Jesus, filled in the name, are healed. Somebody say, are healed. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Well, tomorrow is New Year's. I hope you have a great beginning to the new year, and I hope your whole year be filled with the blessings and promises of God, and that you prosper in everything that you do, in Jesus' name. I want you to be safe today and tonight. If you partake in libations, please be careful not to drive, those kind of things, after you've had too many. Probably after you've had one or two. Somebody say amen. Be careful. Somebody say amen. Amen. Somebody say amen. And we pray that the grace of God, the peace of God, rest upon you. We pray that, glory to God, that as you go throughout the new year, beginning next week, you need to continue to practice safety and do what? Somebody say, be kind. In Jesus' name. Y'all enjoy the rest of your day. I love you.